The reality for many of you is that investment properties where you live have become absolutely unaffordable. The good news is that there are many cities with affordable properties and many of those under 100K. If you're someone who's ready to buy your first out-of-state property in the next 4 months, then I encourage you to check out my free training that'll break down the process and show you exactly what it takes to invest out of state. I purchased properties out of state and it's changed my life. The same is possible for you. You simply need the right information. My free training will help you take that next step towards buying your first out-of-state property. You can watch the training right now at outofstatemoney.com, or you can click the link in the description of this episode. Again, you can find it at outofstatemoney.com, or you can click the link in the description of this episode.
Excuse me, may I talk to you for a second?
Yes. This is the Black Real Estate Dialogue, and the purpose of the Black Real Estate Dialogue is to document the journey of an up-and-coming real estate investor and to share the stories of successful Black real estate investors.
Man, so since I've been here, I've seen a new development. No matter what part of town I'm in, there's construction going on. There's so much activity going on. Talk about just like what's happening in Houston right now, because something's going on.
Houston is the... So I moved here in 2008, finishing school up, Prairie View. And when I got coming from Georgia to Houston in that 2008, which was, you know, everybody knows the market crash, the recession, it was night and day. In Georgia, you saw a lot of people, you know, being laid off, companies closing temporarily. You know, you saw some people losing properties, which was the worst thing since the Great Recession. When I got to Houston, highways was backed up. Construction was on every corner. And it was like, you know, what the world? How does a city function in something they compare to the Great Recession? So I knew from my initial, like, time I got here, I wasn't leaving. But to answer your question, what's going on is, now we're the energy capital. You know, you have all your oil and gas companies here. Texas is the land of oil and gas. We have the number one medical center in the world here. Mm-hmm. So you have a lot of internationals flying here for treatment, cancer treatment. You have technology here. You have governmental funding here. You have a lot of Fortune 500 companies here.
Yeah.
So we're very, like, engineering professional city. It's very affordable here. Before COVID, our average price in Houston was about, you know, $280,000, $290,000.
Wow.
COVID did, you know, prices increased through the inflation. You know, so prices are now at about, last year I would say prices were about $415,000. I was coming back down to like $380,000.
Yeah.
So it's very affordable here. And
yeah,
there's so much opportunity to grow. We have the, and this is a good question that you're asking. We, there's a, you know, your organizations here in Houston, we have one called the Greater Partnership of Houston.
Mm-hmm.
And there was an event I attended last May of 2023, which I never knew this. What I'm about to tell you, I never knew this. Houston is like the number four port in America.
Wow.
But we have the number one port when you look at container count, container shipment account, importing in and exporting out. And so what the president was speaking about, the president of the Houston port was speaking about, he was talking about Houston, you know, with all the recession talks that was happening last summer.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever you have your, you know, you're always projecting your numbers. And so Houston, with the exports and imports that was going out, it was an indication that Houston was still going to weather this due to the fact of all of the ship, the cargo coming in from overseas. So that was an indication to me that the way that he explained it was whenever you have a lot of, give you last year's, let me give you some numbers. 2023, you had over 120,000 people relocate to Houston. The way that the CEO of the Houston port broke it down, out of that 120,000, 49% of those are international people that are relocating here. And out of that 49%, 36% of those people are entrepreneurs that's kind of come here and start companies and create work, you know, create opportunities for people, employees. And so it's always a good, you know, opportunity to go to those type of meetings, because the what I also learned out of that meeting, the city of Houston has already committed to funding over $10.2 billion wow. to increase the infrastructure of the Houston port. So saying that to say this, Houston is kind of like the hub.
Yeah.
We're a very diverse environment. You know, I compare us to like California and New York, number one, and number two, man, everybody works here, man. Everybody gets along. I know you know the saying, don't mess with Texas. We are our own. We are our own entity. So. Yeah.
Definitely. I love that, man. So talk a little about your journey into real estate development and just how do we get here? How do we get to this point? And, of course, it's like other projects we haven't spoken about yet, but what's the journey to get to this point?
So a little bit about me. I'm from a small town in Georgia. I mean, I'm from a rural part of Georgia. Even if I named the town, you probably wouldn't know
what's
it.
What's the name of it?
But it's a town called Waverly Hall, Georgia.
Okay.
At the time, it was like 2,700 people in my hometown.
Wow.
I think my high school graduation class was like 250.
Wow.
We was considered the golden class, the 50th class to ever graduate, and the highest number of people that graduated.
Yeah.
But saying that to say this, my dad has been in land development and land construction all of his life. So I grew up around a lot of projects like this, from subdivision developments to apartments to retail. When I initially started my college journey, I thought I was going to be an architect.
Mm-hmm.
I can draw very well. But I quickly learned that's not for me. I'm a numbers guy. I'm more of a straightforward numbers guy type of guy. And I pivoted to start studying civil engineering,
mm-hmm.
worked in the field for about 2 to 3 years,
mm-hmm.
And then jumped into real estate full time, man.
I got
my real estate license. And me, I'm a person that I don't know how to have one foot in, one foot out. Whatever I'm involved in, I'm fully committed.
Yeah.
So I jumped into real estate full time, started, started representing the traditional buyers and sellers, but I quickly pivoted
mm-hmm.
into representing land and selling land to developers.
Yeah.
And then that led to, me getting more involved in development projects. And what I saw early on, there was a need for a middleman.
Yep.
And what I say a middleman is, you have a lot of investors that have money to do projects, but they don't know how to walk the project from A to Z.
Yeah.
So what I saw was there was a need, for someone to come in and say, hey, here's a site plan, here's a preliminary architectural plans. I built out the pro forma. We got the surveys done. I can put you in communication with my architects and engineers. I have the commercial institutions from the construction loan financing mm-hmm. available. So what I saw was there was a need to package deals up like paper develop and hand it off to you, Sam,
yep.
and you're able to take this to the bank. You can run your numbers and your personal pro forma to balance it out to see that yep. the numbers work, but it cuts down the learning curve, or it cuts down the curve of you trying to figure this all out, Sam, yourself.
Right.
And it started from there, and then it started from an investor coming to me saying, hey, why don't you be a partner in this deal? You have all the relationships with all of the, with your engineering, your architect, mm-hmm. your surveyors, your builders.
Yep.
Why don't you come in as a partner on this? We'll fund the deal, but you bring in, well, we're not asking you to bring no money in, but you bring the sweat equity in.
Yep.
So that it started from there, and then just kept scaling up, brick by brick by brick. So,
Love that. Love that. What's the price range on these homes?
So here we have 9 different floor plans mm-hmm. ranging from 1,398 square foot up to a 2,000 square foot floor plan.
Mm-hmm.
Pricing, the average price point is about $289.
Gotcha.
When we initially started pre-selling the first phase back in January of 2023, we were marketing a $269 sales price.
Yeah.
But of course, costs kept going up and mm-hmm. we had to slowly increase our prices. And now we're at an average price point of $289.
All right, so I know everybody's probably worrying about money, right? What's the process to buy one of these beautiful homes? And so we got Maurice Tillman, who is a preferred lender for Wynnewood. So just love to first talk about how you two got connected, and then we can talk about your background a little bit and what's the process like to buy one of these homes.
Okay.
So how we got connected was, this was back in 2019.
Mm-hmm.
Maurice randomly called. He cold called.
I was cold calling everybody.
He told me, he called me and said, hey, I see you representing a lot of projects. And you got this project over here close to Acres Homes. Number one, who's the lender you're working with? And I went through that. Then he was like, I can provide 100% financing. At the time, I had never heard of a loan product with 100% financing. And I was like, what? So he came by, you know, printed some flyers out of me. And he left, and I called my partner. I said, hey, man, this dude just left talking about he can give us 100% financing. My partner, he was like, man, there's no way possible that can happen. Man, he's full of crap. He's just blowing smoke up your butt. And so Maurice kept calling. And in that three-unit project we had, three-home project we had, we basically said, hey, we got someone that wants to buy a house here. Let's see what you can do. Long story short, that was a $330,000 house, 1787 square foot, if I remember correctly. She only brought like what, $500 to close.
Yeah, like $600.
$600 to close on a $330,000 house.
Wow.
And when we got that deal closed and funded, I hung up the phone with my partner. I said, man, I'm working with Maurice going forward. Because there was and this was the strength of a relationship too. This happened during COVID.
Mm-hmm.
So we went under contract and COVID happened. Of course, buyers started getting, you know, nervous of what was going to happen with the market. People started catching COVID. I remember out of one of the homes that was bought, the buyer that was buying it, her husband ended up catching COVID. So then the people that was buying her house, their family caught COVID. So it was like a domino effect of multiple people being in the hospital. Her father-in-law had to step in as a signer to sign for her son. Signed for his son because he was it a respirator?
That dude almost died.
Yeah, he almost died. He
was on a respirator. Crazy, yo.
And so it was the beginning of our relationship in a very challenging market.
Yeah.
And then by the time April, May came, everything just took off.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Black Real Estate Dialogue Podcast. Remember to follow us on Instagram at Black Real Estate Dialogue. And be sure to leave us 5 stars and a review on your favorite podcast listening platform. Until next time.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.